But if you need message notes, would you raise your hand? Our ushers are ready. We so appreciate them serving the house of the Lord, our ushers. If you need them, raise your hand. Here's a precious lady over here on this side. Anybody on this side? Yeah. Okay, we're good. We're good. 100%. A couple of things to tell you about. Again, not the benefit of the projectors. Last time we talked about them. Is that okay with everybody? Senior lunch, I believe you're having it today. Smell good food already. So it's going to be great. Make sure that you stay around. All senior adults are welcome. Amen? Yeah, and if you didn't bring anything, what I know about our seniors, they're the most giving. They're the ones that really support our church because of their tithe and their giving. I don't think I'll get in trouble for saying that, but they're just a blessing. They constantly give, and we thank God for them. So I know this. If you're here, you said, I didn't bring anything. I'm a senior adult. They have enough. Amen. They'll share with you, right? Amen. So praise the Lord. You can go quickly to churches, not this. Go to the other churches. The Church's Fried Chicken. Amen. They got a different pastor there. And get some chicken and bring it. If not, just come. Is that okay? Amen. Welcome to Living Faith. Faith that you can see as we gather, as we grow and go. Amen. Amen. Welcome to Facebook Live audience. I believe that's working. So let's come on. Yeah, give them a big hand. I'd like to also tell you about our outdoor worship that will happen this coming Wednesday night. We'll be out in the parking lot and we'll worship God. I believe a song in the night, a song in the air towards the Lord is just going to affect our community like never before. It's called Be the Church, and it's leaving the four walls of our church. And when you worship God outside, amen, God does something under the stars. And so make sure that you come back. We're going to try to limit the chairs that we take out because they're not supposed to be outside. Amen, everybody? So bring somebody say, bring your lawn chairs. Yeah, bring a lawn chair, a blanket. The car hood is good. Amen. Just something that you can sit on, the SUV, the minivan, flip open. Amen. Sit on the back of that. You'll be blessed. And our band, didn't our worship team do exceptionally well today? They're a blessing to us. Come on. Yeah. I don't see them in here, but they're going to hear you in the hallway. Is that okay with everybody? And so we're blessed today. Welcome to a new series. Are you ready to learn about Elijah? Yeah, what a cool name, right? I wish they would have named me Elijah Nava, but they named me Mario. Is that okay with everybody? So anyway, Elijah's a good name. When I take a walk or a bike ride, there's different atmospheres that I have, just like you. Some of you have told me you walk like miles and miles. Well, I'm sure as you walk and you track, you're going to go over different terrain. Sometimes there's sidewalks. Sometimes it's the asphalt. Sometimes it's mud, or you're walking on grass a little bit, but we go through different terrains as we walk. Bike riding is the same way. You go over hills, valleys, lows. You walk up a hill, you walk down a hill, you go downhill. And much like that, beloved, is like the walk that you have with God. You're going to go through highs, you're going to go through lows. It's just the journey of God. And if you always expect to be on the mountaintop, that's not real Christianity. It's not. God is still the God on the mountaintop. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But he's also the God of the valley. That's why he told the shepherd about that, right? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no. So God's all part of just different terrains, atmospheres. It might be windier, when you turn the corner and your hat flies off. Spiritually, there might be some wind blowing against you. There might be calm seas. But God is still part of the journey. And so I want you to understand that today. The journey of God is much like the same. We're going to study Elijah for the next 4 weeks. He's one of the greatest men that ever lived in the Bible. So much so he came back in the New Testament and visited with the three that were up there. And they said, hey, let's build this great temple. Three of them, one for you, one for Elijah, and one for Moses. So he made a comeback even. That's how great he was. And so Elijah the Tishbite, he steps out of nowhere. Really, he just shows up in Ezekiel, in 1 Kings 17, and he says, you know what, here am I, man. And most of us, we get this prep time of Moses being a baby, or Jesus being born, but Elijah's, boom, God just puts him on the scene because of an incredible need that there was. I also want to think, was he a superhero? He was superly used by God, but the incredible thing that I got is in James chapter 5, hear the word of the Lord, James chapter 5, verse 17, here we go. Elijah was a man as we are. Somebody say, a man as we are. A man as we are. Who's Superman here? Don't say amen. It's the wrong time. Even though she called you that last night, you're not. Amen. Yeah, amen. You're having some fun in church now, right? Yeah, you may have thought that. Amen. But you're a mere mortal. Amen. Elijah was a man just like we are, which tells me that he had heartbreak. He had depression in his life. He had things that he was fearful of. And so no one's arrived. And it continues to say, he prayed that it may not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3.5 years. So at his word, he said, it's not going to rain anymore. All the way to the Old Testament, James remembers him one more time here. He said, and it did not rain. That's some superpower praying, isn't it? That you can cause. Imagine what drought it caused in the land of Israel during that time. Imagine the economic shutdown that happened. Cows need it. Our vegetation needs it. The animal need it. People need it. It would be, your whole life would change if you lived during that time. Why would a man do that? Curse? Yeah. See, God had had enough. People, during that time, there was 19 leaders before Ahab. Ahab was the 19th. 200 years of people walking away from God. God had given them so much and blessed them so much. And they walked away and started having these false gods and these little gods, and they would make sacrifices towards them. They got to the point of having temple prostitution, and the prostitutes would have sex with people in the temple, and they would count that as worship. Wow, what a church, right? Y'all can smile at me at least. You're not so religious. It really happened in the Bible, amen? That's why I'm saying don't do drugs, amen? Do the Bible. Read the Bible. There's more drama in it than your drama that you have. So wrong was right, and right was wrong, much like it is in our culture at times. Ahab comes onto the scene. He's the 19th leader. And the Bible says that Ahab was more wicked than the rest of them that had preceded him. It was already bad, but now it was even worse. And he was married to this gal named Jezebel. And some theologians say, or historians say, Jezebel was the most wicked woman that ever lived. How would you like that title, lady? No, no ladies of faith here, right? No, we don't want that, right, everybody? So it was a very dark time, very oppressive time. It had crept into the physical. And that's when Elijah announces, it's not going to rain. Enough is enough today. I notice when God shows up, here's how he moves. And it's just common. It's so amazing to me. God, send an army. We need 1,000 people down at City Hall. We need to, all the churches need to. And that's all good, and I'm in agreement. But you know what God usually does? He sends one man. He sends one person, an Esther, a Mary. He sends a Moses. He sends an Elijah. He doesn't send an army. He sends one person to make the foolish think, to make the proud foolish and say, you know what, that has to be God because I knew that guy. All right, I know God well enough. He needs thousands of people. No, God just needs one person sent by him, and he'll shake the earth. Amen? And that's what Elijah did. And I love that Elijah was just like you and me. And I want to really push in on that for some of us today. Because if he was just like us, all he needs is one person today to really stand up for what's right. Young person, when you go back to school, I hate to say your summer's going to be over soon. Because I used to hate it when I would have my summer break. So I'm reminding you, summer's going to be over soon. And you know what happens after summer? You're going to go back to school. But maybe instead of going back to school this time the same way that you went back before, you go back with the thought that you're going to promote sexual purity in your school, that you're going to be the one that loves God the most, that you're going to start a Bible club or a prayer time for your high school, which is not illegal, right, everybody? Still legal. And you can be the one sent by God to do that because God's given you a mission to do that. Maybe you're the one that does business as an adult and you're not on the take, or you're not doing something illegal, or you're finally surrendering and you're ethically doing the right thing towards God today. As a business owner today, maybe you're the only housewife that doesn't get in the chisme along with the rest of the housewives, right, everybody? Maybe you're the one standing for God in your neighborhood and you're righteous, just like Elijah was during that. You're taking a stand today. And all it takes is one person to take a stand for God to make a big difference, right, everybody? Elijah, the one sent by God, you can be the one sent by God today. His name right there in the handout, it literally means, Elijah means, God, my God is Jehovah, Elohim, my God, the Lord God is the one true God. And so when he shows up to Ahab, the wicked king, he basically says, I'm the one, I stand for God, you don't and I do. Your name even says that, and that's why they hated him even more. And so he turns towards the king and he makes this statement. And it was a background sometimes we have of a person in the Old Testament. And it's like Mario Nava, he's from San Antonio, Texas. All right, Mario, that's how we know from you. Well, Elijah was no different. No one knew. He shows up in verse 1:17. No one knew about him before. Now Elijah the Tishbite was from Tishbe of Gilead. And he said to Abram, as the Lord God lives in Israel, whom I serve, there will neither be dew nor rain in the next few years except by my... Yeah, 1 Kings 17:1. And if it would have been a movie scene, it would have been right at that point. There's not going to be rain nor dew at the sound of my word. And if it would have been a movie, it would have been, da-da-da-da. Got to keep you awake. Got to do something. I'm going to juggle kittens up here in a minute, man. The PowerPoint, man. It's my life, right? It's called PowerPoint, right? The PowerPoint comes to the... We're going to have the power through the word now, right, everybody? So God sent prophetic judgment. And if you can imagine, everything began to shut down. And so it's these battle royale, King Ahab and the prophet up and coming, this young come, Elijah. And it's going to be a battle royale. I'll show you how wicked. I'll be righteous. And they're about to clash. And God does something completely different than letting them clash. He says this, and then God begins to do something else in his life to prepare him for even greater measure. Sometimes I believe God removes you from something, or he does something. I want to do something more in your life, so I have to remove you from something that you thought you were going to go through. And it's called preparation. And God has a teaching for us today. And some of you will identify this greatly about that I have to leave the place or I have to do something. Nobody leave the church today. Sometimes I get these people that go way off, well, I'm leaving the church. No, it's not about that. It's a devoted life. Maybe God's taking you in the season about doing something in your life that is completely different than the rest of the way that your family runs. I noticed Elijah's by himself a lot. And he gathered probably with the people of God at times, and we'll see that during the next couple of series that we'll do. But at this moment, I'm speaking of you and God together in your walk with God, not your church and God, right? Amen. I always get somebody way off and they're going to leave the church because they heard, no, I'm not telling you that, amen? You can leave if you want, amen, but you'll miss God. I'm just telling you that right now, amen? So the thoughts of the season are this. Somebody say isolated pain.
Isolated pain.
Are you with me right now?
Amen.
Yeah, he's very alone. He has no one to call out to. He's by himself, and he's hurting because there's this season of hiding that he's in too. And the Bible says this in 1 Kings 17:2-3. Are you there with me? Let's see how good you do without the screen, but your message notes on 3, 1, 2, 3, go. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. And hide in the Kerith Ravine, east of the Jordan. The Hebrew word right there for Kerith Ravine, right there, you have it in your notes. It means to be what? Cut off from the blessings or cut down. Literally that you would take the axe to the tree and cut down the tree or the blessing. The blessing's gone. There's no more blessing. Why would God do something like that to the man of God? Why would the season come? Elijah's in the season for months of being away from people today. Here's what I know about preparation with God. God's kitchen. And I love eating in God's kitchen. How about you? But you know how it goes in God's kitchen? It's not microwave. You put a pizza in a microwave, those microwave pizza, it comes out after that 2-minute cycle or whatever it might be. It's spinning, and then all of a sudden it's come out. But it's real warm on the outside, but in the middle of that microwave pizza, it's cold. Ugh, right? You don't eat that. And I think that's like a lot of Christians sometimes. You look good on the outside. You look good, but on the inside, what's going on in your heart? It gets real ugly. There's coldness. You're away from God. God is notorious for being a slow cooker. And he puts you in the oven, and you slow cook, you marinate, marinating over and over, and finally that carnita comes out. And it's so tender because God's done something good today. That's why real Christianity is like this. I don't know what God's doing, but I'm still believing him. And I'm going to get back up, and I'm going to still keep, because you still keep doing it. I'm in some pain right now. I'm isolated, I'm away, I don't feel like I have any friends, but I'm going to still get back up today. And that's what God does in a real Christian's life, amen? today and believe God for it today. And so God tells Elijah, I'm going to take you through this season that I'm breaking you basically. And I'm going to humble you privately before I can use you publicly. And I'd like to say, not to make myself a hero because I don't want to do that, but I'll turn the attention towards you. I've seen many people in our church that go through the processes of God, and God hurts. There are things that happen that humble you in life. Not that the curse is part of God. No, no way. God brings a blessing. But there are seasons sometimes of pain in our lives. And God uses that pain. He can make it into a blessing in your life. Do you understand that today? Amen. And God can you. So don't reject the pain all the time. Sometimes it's okay. It's a process that God, you can still thank God through. Is that okay with everybody? Amen. There's a funny story about a little bird. I've never told it. And he's cold and he's freezing. And he's so overcome by the element, he has to crash land. The snow's pelting him, the sleet, and he's down on the ground and he's chirping. He's I'm not going to live much longer. The cold is overcoming me, and he's speaking bird language. And all of a sudden, a big cow comes over him, and just, it's going to be kind of gross, but he just has this massive manure movement right over him. And the little bird is now all manured over, and he's chirping still, but chirping in agony. Chirp, chirp. And he's like chirping still. And then he realizes how warm it's getting. And he begins to thank God. And he begins to sing a new song, just chirping away because he moves his lips a little bit, his beak, and he gets out and he begins to chirp, and he's chirping, and he's chirping. And then a demonic creature comes along called a cat. And that cat hears him chirping. And the cat cleans him up and eats him. There are three things about that story that's very true. Everyone that drops manure on you is not necessarily your enemy. Right? Think about that. That's Selah. The second thought is this. Every when you're in manure, keep your big mouth shut. And just don't complain. You may sing, but amen, keep it low, amen. The third one, everyone who digs you out is not necessarily your friend. Yeah. There's a season of pain. Where is your God? The Kerith Ravine in that scripture where the blessing is cut off. I'm cut off. I'm broken. I'm sick right now in my body. You're saying I'm being cut down. The painful experiences that God uses today shape you and what you need to be. Yeah. For tomorrow. Yeah, thank God. You know, I didn't notice good health until I got sick. How about you? I didn't know what healing was until I needed a healing in my body. I didn't know what it was to be set free from that was holding me back until now I'm free in the Lord. Right, everybody? There are so many things that you go through. They're painful and isolated, but you get free from them and you realize this is how it is to be. Good now, I can thank God, I can sing my song today. And so I believe sometimes you have to learn some things that you won't learn any other way. And God used this season in Elijah's life today. That mama that's heartbroken over a son today, you're isolated, you feel that. God's going to hear your prayer. You might be going through, see, but then you're going to sing your song on the other side when that son comes through and that family member comes back to the Lord, right? A.W. Tozer said this, it's doubtful that God can bless any man greatly until he has hurt him deeply. In Bible college, they don't teach you about things that really can make you a minister or break you. But as you get broken as a minister, your threshold for pain becomes more resilient. Do you understand that today? Just like in life. Yeah. I know the third baby probably hurt, but it didn't hurt as much as the first baby. And I never had a baby, so y'all can kind of imagine with me, right, everybody? Yeah. So Elijah really here on the second thought, he really can't depend on anything but God and God alone, right, everybody? So somebody shout total dependence. And you can spell check that later, amen. I used to depend on that. But I can no longer depend on that. God has me in a new season. So what are you trusting God for right now that only God can do? Your paycheck could do that. But now maybe you can't depend on the paycheck. Talent could pull it off, but that talent can't pull it off anymore. What can you trust God for? That relationship that you used to have, that relationship's not there, so you can't pull, you got to depend on God now. The marriage was good, now we got to depend on God. It's a season of that right now, and God's going to make it sweet, I believe. And Kings says this in 17:4. Why don't we read it together on three? Come on with me on three. One, two, three, go. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the rave. Whoa, hold on. I don't know. Stop. I don't know what's up. But we can do better than this. First service, they were probably half as many, and they hit it out of the park. Well, they had the overhead. They had the projectors. No, you can still read, right? Everybody can read. So let's read it together on three. Come on, let's do it under the Lord. Amen. Declare the word of the Lord together. One, two, three. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there. And he went to the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. Somebody shout, bread and meat.
Bread and meat.
And the brook is there, right? And water's there, and the flow is happening. I love that God doesn't have them on a vegan diet. How about you? Eating oatmeal or whatever it might be. God brought them meat. God, anita, amen. Give me a good amen. You're waking up right now, amen. That tacos and barbacoa, amen. There were flour tortillas I'm sure he was eating. God was bringing them every day. And so in the drought, God will still provide for you, beloved. When there's lack, there's going to be water. There's still provision. You can depend on God. Amen. We depend on, I used to depend again on him, that paycheck. I used to depend on that child to make me, I would identify, my identity was all wrapped up in my son and daughter, you would say. And that son and daughter grows up and leaves, and what do you got? So you got to depend on God now, right, everybody? And God will forever be faithful to you, and he will be your source today. There was a single mama, and she was thanking God, and she lived in the housing projects. And so she would come out onto her balcony, the second floor, and she would go, Lord, you know that we need food, God. You blessed me with these children, and now, Lord, they need to eat. So, Lord, I love you, and I honor you. Bring me food to feed my children. And she would ask God out on her balcony. But there was this atheist that lived like down below, and he would hear her because his screen was open, and he would curse her, and he would say, you know what, God's not listening to you, and he would slam the door and just be real mean to her. And so one day she came out again in the morning, waking him up, Lord, would you send food to my children? You bless me. Would you help me? And I'll praise you all the day long when you've done it. And that atheist said, I'm going to get her now. I'm going to get her good. So he went and bought a bunch of groceries for her, and he put it on her front porch, and he knocked on the door, and then he ran away and hid by the bushes and see what. She came out and saw the groceries and says, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. The Lord done provided for me again. And that atheist came out looking around the corner and says, I got you now. That wasn't God. That was me. And I gave you those groceries. Yeah. And she went, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God, you provided for me, and you used the devil to provide for me today. Yeah. What is it that you can believe God for today? Amen. And God will provide. I notice what's incredible about that scripture, if you look at it, that God provided enough for each day. And God has a way that we can just lean on him and continually just press in and say, Lord, I need you one more day. The pain's coming back again. Yeah. Lord, I'm still affected by that issue that's going on. When I see that person and I see them walk in the room and my peace leaves like that. And you can just make it a prayer. Say, God, just one more day. Give me the strength. Give me the peace. You know what's going on when I walk into my family. Are y'all glad you came to Living Faith Church? Just for that one word, right, everybody? Amen. You trust God right now for your healing. You trust God right now for your healing and your peace and provision today. Amen. God will always be your provider. The third point here is this. I believe it's the third one. Unconditional. Somebody shout obedience.
Obedience.
Yeah, you can fill in the blank there. There's isolated pain. There's total dependence. And now there's unconditional obedience. It says in 1 Kings 17, 7 and 9, sometime later the brook dried up. Somebody say the brook dried up.
The brook dried up.
That, dependent, that thing that he was, that miracle that God was creating just for him, because there hadn't been no rain. Isn't it interesting, beloved, how that thing that God blessed him with, now God, that thing that he said, no more rain, it finally came down and it affected him directly. He was in the abundance. He was with God, so to speak. Then the word of the Lord came to him, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. And so, why, God? This was my source. This was where I was at. I was plugged in. Hey, I will talk about the church, okay, because it's good. When I was younger, I used to go to this church, and there was always problems. People were always talking about the pastor behind his back, not like this church. Y'all are good. I live in a fantasy world. I'm happy. You want my medicine? You can take my medicine. You'll be happy too. So anyway, one day I got off with these people, and they were like, they were talking bad about the church, so I was young. I was impressionable because I was learning from these older people about how to do Christianity, and that's talk about the pastor behind his back. They were teaching me because I was hearing it. And so I'm sorry if that, but that was happening in the church I was at because I saw somebody roll their eyes, but it really happened. And so the rest of y'all are enjoying it. The rest of the people that are convicted are rolling their eyes. So they asked this question, what do you do when the church is all messed up and all this stuff's happening in the church and there's all this anger? What do you do? And, you know, do you stay at that church? Do you stay at that church with all that anger? And finally, this older lady that was just wiser than everybody, she said, you know what I do? I leave. I leave when it gets like that. And so she left, I guess. And to me, I know that that's not funny, but it was funny to me because sometimes I think when we get opposition or we go through hard times, we just leave the place that we're at. It could be a church. It could be a marriage. It could be a place of assignment, and you leave. And what I want to teach you about today is Elijah had to leave because everything was dried up. Everything was gone. And I believe sometimes you get uncomfortable in some things. A new season is coming about. Things are being challenged in your life. You feel that peace, it's not there. And God's telling you, it's time. You move on or you do this or you begin to help in this area and you begin to apply yourself in this area. It's not about being happy on the outside. It's being the peace on the inside that you need. Do you understand that today? Amen. And so after the brook dried up, amen, God had to move him to a step of faith. Sometimes we say, well, if God is giving us the vision, he's going to provide the provision for us. Preachers say that all the time. And I believe that too. But if there's challenge that happens, sometimes God's there. Are you going to press through? Are you going to keep going today? Right, everybody? I got to see Karate Kid a couple of weeks ago, and it shows up every now and then, the best one, the one in my generation, Mr. Miyagi, when it was the guy from Happy Days, that guy, amen, and Ralph Macchio, that's the best one, right? So Karate Kid 1, you know, he's trying to say, Mr. Miyagi, teach me to fight, I want to learn to fight, and so Mr. Miyagi, remember he gives him all those tasks to do? He says, I want you to polish the floor, and so he polishes the floor. And he teaches them like this, like this, like this. And he says, Daniel-san, I want you to wax the car. And he polishes the car, you know, waxes the car like this, like that. And he says, I want you to, man, y'all know the gospel, amen, paint the fence, amen, paint the fence. And he's painting the fence, and he teaches them to paint the fence. And finally, you know, he uses all these cuss words in the name of Jesus, and he says, why haven't you taught me how to fight? I'm doing all this stuff for you. I'm your slave, Mr. Miyagi. He says, no, Daniel-san, I'll teach you now. And he says, okay, sand the floor. And he goes, no. He slammed Daniel-san, not like that. Sand the floor. And he teaches him like that. He said, okay, Daniel-san, now wax the car. And he's waxing the car. No. He goes, oh, wax the car. No, wax the car. Wax the car. He goes, now paint the fence. And he says, paint the fence. No, paint the fence. And then he goes, okay, I'm going to come at you. And he comes at him in that scene, and he goes, paint the fence, and he goes, wax the floor. Yeah. Oh, come on, you're doing better than I'm preaching, amen, today. You really are. It was a 100-mile journey from the Kerith Ravine to Zarephath, and Elijah didn't have a horse. He didn't have a camel. He walked from what we know 100 miles to Zarephath, and the drought was still in effect. And he meets this widow there, and he's hungry. How many would be hungry after 100 miles of walking? Not even a cliff bar would do, right? Not even a trail bar. And he tells that widow, he says, "Hey, make me something to eat, woman." Like you should tell your wife to do, right, everybody? And he says, "Make something for me to eat." And she goes, "Sir," and she does this girl attitude, "Girl, do you know what you do?" You know, he says, "You know what we have? We got just a little bit of flour, and I got a little bit of oil. And that's all I, sir, don't you know we've been in a drought?" And I think, Elijah said, "Yeah, I caused it," because he spoke, "I'm to blame." He says, "And we're going to eat this meal and we're going to die." These were his words. Those were her words. He says, "We're going to die after we eat this meal." He says, "No, you're not going to die." He said, "Just make me some biscuits. Like I told you to make me some biscuits. You'll get the gravy later." And the Bible says that she did that, and they had food for weeks. The oil never ran out. The flour, a miracle happened. And so everything's cool, hunky-dory, the praising Jesus, I'm imagining, because they're eating. They're the only ones eating, because everybody else, you need to go to that restaurant. And what ends up happening is tragedy hits. I don't understand the story sometimes, but I go on the process. I don't understand what God's doing on my journey sometimes, but I got to keep moving forward and believing God. And this is for somebody right now. You might say, "Well, my husband hasn't shown up," or "I'm in this process in my life and relationship." You just got to obey God. Go through the process. Do what's right. Do what's righteous. Lead your family the right way, sir, and God will show up in your life today. Amen? Amen. And so he continues to go on, and the son, here's what happens. That little boy that they fed with that last meal, supposedly, well, he lives for a week, but he dies suddenly. And that lady comes. I can imagine maybe this was her only son left after the drought. I don't know if the others had died, if she had more children, but this was her son, and he died. And she goes up and addresses Elijah. Have you brought this curse to me? After all that we did, why did you do this as a prophet of God? Why? We want to blame God. And Elijah does something that's never been done before in the Bible up to this moment. A miracle happens. He takes the son's body and he lays him down. And the Bible says he lays on top and he looks over up and he says, "God, would you bring life back into this son, into this young man's life?" And God does it. He hears the prayer. And the son comes alive now. And it's a miracle of God today. God will always answer your prayers. God will do it in his time, on his timetable, and according to his will, he does that thing. I think it's a process of God that gets us in the preparation today. A genuine walk with God has all sorts of terrain. You're going to go through highs and lows, but the destination is well worth the while if you continue to walk with God. Amen? Amen. God did more than I ever imagined right now. Amen. He's doing something in me. Finally, the final scripture that you got today. In 1 Kings 17:1, it says that he was Elijah from Tishbite, Mario from San Antonio. And here's what I pray. I pray that the people of Living Faith Church aren't known, "Well, that's Hulana, and that's Porfulio, and they're from San Antonio, Texas." No, they're from Living Faith Church. They're okay people. They're okay. Yeah, they do good sometimes. I pray this would happen in your neighborhood, in your workplace. That's Porfulio and Hulana. And they're not only from Living Faith Church. Those people are from God. I know that God hears them when they pray. Their example in this neighborhood, the police are over their house because they're trying to break up the Bible study, not the fight. Amen. There's healing going on in their home. Amen. The drama is happening at their home because miracles are happening in their neighborhood. The drama is happening in the hallways of their school because that girl loves Jesus and she lives for God. And God answers her when you pray. Do you understand that today? Amen. And so it says this in the final King scripture, Kings 17:20-24. Read it together out loud, not out soft. 1, 2, 3, go. Then the woman said to Elijah, "You are a man of God. Praise God for all the pain that shapes us. Thank God for the isolation sometimes, not forever, but for that season. Thank God for my total dependence and your total dependence on God today, that we're going to fall on God if necessary today." Right, everybody? Who wants to obey God? Amen. Yeah, let's move on with what God has for us today. Let's pray together. Would you bow and pray? Heavenly Father, would you do a supernatural work in this moment because of people agreeing that God can do something in their life more through them today. I ask you for the people that are in a season of hurt and pain, and I know that right now. I pray that you would answer their prayers, Lord. And if it's a hurting and difficult season in your life right now, I want to pray for you especially. God, you've humbled your people, Lord, that are in pain right now. You've brought them a little bit low, but you're still God. You're that God of the valley right now. And I pray, Lord, that their season of obedience would be so accelerated right now that it would remove them from the valley. And sometimes we're in that valley, Lord, and sometimes we're on the mountaintop, but I even thank you for the valley. The pain, Lord, in that moment. Thank you, Lord. Touch the people of the Lord. As I continue to pray right now, the weight of your sin has affected you right now in the sense of just making you uneasy. Conviction has come upon you. That's not a bad word. That's a very good word. What it's saying is you need to change. God can change you today. It says, all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In this house, what we do is we ask you to lift your hand slightly, not to embarrass you, but just to acknowledge you that we're going to pray. We're going to lead you in a prayer. I'm not going to call you up front. I'm going to pray from the pulpit. You'll pray right from, you'll make that chair your altar today. But discover God. This is your moment. We stopped everything that you would discover Jesus as your Savior. You're far away from God. You've never said yes to Jesus. If that's you, would you lift your hand slightly and say, "Remember me in prayer"? You want change to come. God bless you, sir. Somebody else? Yes, God bless you. Three hands went up. Somebody else? Yeah. God bless you. I see your hand. Amen. Five men raised their hand in the house of God. I'd like to think of you as an Elijah, a man of God. And you can pray like Elijah prayed. And God will hear your prayer. Say these words after me, those that lifted their hand, and my brothers and sisters in this room that are saved by grace, let's pray it out loud with them today. Let's say these words out loud. Heavenly Father, wait a minute, Facebook, right now, if you need to receive Jesus, you can also. Heavenly Father, receive my prayer. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean, Jesus. Make me new again. I repent of that that's bringing me death. I want life. So I follow Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Fill your people with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. We receive the Holy Spirit afresh and anew. Now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. And may the Lord be gracious to you. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, let's praise God for a good God. Come on. Yeah. Thank you for a new life at Living Faith Church. Thank you, Lord. Those that receive Christ, amen, you may have did it for the 99th time. That's okay. It never gets old. Amen. God does something new. Fill out a connection card. Those are in front of you. You'll need to stretch, some of you, because they're not everywhere. They're not convenient, but it's okay. Stretch. Let me know that. I take those cards back with me. I pray for you. I believe God for you. And just let me know what you did in your decision. If you need healing in your body, if there's a difficult time, I'll pray. Irma and I will pray for you this week. By the way, my precious wife is in the nursery, and she is blessing your kids. Amen. Your babies. So your kids are going to be blessed. Amen. You'll get at least a fresh diaper change. Amen. Give me a good amen. Yeah, Amen. Amen. Hey, a couple of things as Christina gets ready to kind of direct the service for the rest. I'm going to hand off the baton to her, and Roger will finish it off. Porn and Pasta Night is this coming Monday, okay? Now listen to me, very important. I had a visual and all that stuff, and I had a great Craig Gross, Pastor Craig Gross from the XXX Church comes out. He's going to lead the session, and you're going to hear just a powerful word. If you came last year, this is a new one. He does it. It's just a newer one, so it's not the same one. Tomorrow, I'll tell you about when I was probably in about fifth grade, how an older boy in our neighborhood, he got pornography, how we used to get it in the old-fashioned way, through magazines, and he ordered this film that he got, a pornographic film, and on a summer day, before I probably went into fifth grade, we watched that movie, and I'll tell you about what it did in my life and how it affected me even to this day. And there is victory over something that wasn't meant to happen, something that the enemy meant for to kill, steal, and destroy from my life, but how I overcame. My story is really not any different than yours that are in this room with pornography. They're saying what's different about this generation than the other, my generation, is that even young ladies, our young girls are addicted to pornography, or they've seen pornography more because of the invention of the smartphone. It's given us access. They say children now see it while they're doing their homework because they're using their smartphone, and it's easily just, it's so accessible now. It's no longer hiding the magazine under the mattress. And so you need to be part of what's taking place tomorrow, especially if you're a young lady. I had several already call. Couples are coming together. They're welcome to come. You understand that today? And so here's what I need to do for food's sake. Our ladies are cooking this great pasta. I got a pasta sauce that's going to hit you upside the head and say, that's good, right? It's that sort of food. We're going to come for the food, but it's better than the food today. But I need to know kind of a count. So I'm going. So who else is going so I can make sure that we have enough food? There you are. Raise your hand. You can be humble in the house of God. If you're not coming and you have, thank you guys. I really want to put down your hands one more time here. I really need to tell parents here. Check this out. If your kids are working, I understand. If you're working, I understand. You ought to get your young person here. What if she's a girl? Even more so. They need to be here tomorrow. And God is making this avenue for them to learn, and we're exposing the enemy to get victory today. Some of you have had problems and your wife really wants you to go as a man. My wife wants me to go to this because I never want to go back to that. Do you understand that today? And so it blesses my wife that I go. It blesses her that she'll be here also. So let's go ahead and see who's going tomorrow. Who are the, yeah, really? Okay, good. Maybe there'll be about 25 of us. If you know of anybody that's going to increase that number, let me know. But God bless you guys. And in the name of Jesus, you'll be here and you'll obey God. Right, everybody? We had an awesome camp. And as Christina comes, she didn't say this for her service. I kind of want to tell her about it. It's unheard of that our young people went to camp and they didn't pay really one nickel. And that is because of the generosity of God's people. Some of you paid, you gave scholarship money, and that came from you. But our young people weren't really, we've done 3 billion camps in the history that I've been a pastor, not really, but we've done a lot of camps, and we've never done one where it's been scholarship free. Even leaders went free. Isn't that amazing? And usually we say, hey, you got to pay because you're a leader. To God be the glory. Thank you, Roger, for starting that. Hand clap. It's your generosity that's done that. Amen. And you ought to be proud of a church that even sends their young people to camp. Not, oh, they should pay. No, they got blessed, and they're going to appreciate it. They're going to remember, man, a church made a way for me that I would be able to go free, and Jesus touched me there. Right? Bless Christina as she leads us out. Don't leave till the final amen.
Good morning. Real quick, before I get into YFN, I want to piggyback off of what he said about the porn and pasta. Take your kids. Kids are getting access to porn so much quicker and so much easier. It's important to talk about it. I know we're from a generation that you don't talk, especially if you're Hispanic. Your mom and dad did not talk about sex. I mean, so it's really important that you bring your kids to tomorrow night. I would be there, but I'm going to be in South Padre on the beach. So I won't be there. But I hope you guys definitely will enjoy it. So I want to invite some of my kids that came to youth, went to YFN this summer. They're going to come up and share a quick testimony. But before they do, I want to just thank everybody. Thank you for your prayers, those that watch with us on CFNI.TV, those that gave, those that that gave, those that came out and helped out, and just helped out on the fundraisers and things like that. We greatly appreciate you guys. Without you, we wouldn't have gone. And so we want to share a little bit. I'm going to have them 30 seconds or less. Tell you a quick something that God's done in their life, and then I'll close it up.
Okay, so usually, like, everyone had their Holy Spirit, like, every night. Well, at first, I was freaking out because I was like, oh, man, I'm not getting my holy night, you know? I'm not feeling this. And then Thursday night, it finally hit me, and the Lord spoke to me about this guy that we met from another youth group, and I saw them with his youth group. They're all loud and everything. They're going to other people and meeting them, and that's how we met them. And the Lord spoke to me and told me that he's going to have his own ministry one day, and that he's going to break it up together, and he's going to get all these people from YFN, and they're going to create a big one, and then they're going to create another YFN to help out the other people. And it was just like a big thing that God told me. And I went to go pray for him with Jay Lee also, and I was praying, and then someone came up to me and told me I wasn't allowed to. And so I was like all mad, you know. I was like, well, man, I was trying to pray for him, you know. And so then I realized that was just the devil trying to stop me from telling him what he has in store. And so then I started praying to God, saying, like, we're not going to let him stop this. Like, I am going to tell him what he said. And eventually I was able to tell him his word, and I didn't want the devil to stop me with that.
Okay, first off, I want to thank y'all for paying for all of us, and yeah. Okay, anyways, like Jalen, okay, let me rewind here. We had an amazing time. We were like, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Like, I was like, thank you, Jesus. Like, I just felt him all over me. But, there was a few injuries that happened, a lot of injuries. Someone got popped in the eye, someone's ankle swelled up, yeah, like all that. That was just the devil trying to stop us from having an encounter with God. But how many of y'all know, like, the devil's not going to stop us? So we had our amazing experience, and I want to thank y'all again for letting us.
Sorry, I sound sick. I just recently came back from the hospital. Okay, let's just wing it. sorry. Yeah, I want to thank y'all for letting us go. It was a blessing. Surprisingly, this year it hit me worse in a good way. God hit me. We were in front of the stage, and we were praying with kids, and it just hit me like God was telling me to get on that stage. Speak your word, be my voice, and I couldn't because, like, I'm a really shy person, but I know he has plans for us, and I know what he has in mind. No, he knows our future before you even think about it, before you even go to the next day for it, before you even want to think about doing something wrong. And I was telling Christina on the way back from camp that God is here. He's been here. Like Pastor said, he's faithful, and instead of you saying, oh, God don't know me, he knows you way more than you think. And that instead of you wanting God to fit into you, turn it around and let God fit into you, like us fit into God. And YFN, it really changed my mind.
Awesome. That's awesome. And the whole camp this summer was fearless. That was our theme. And God is God is really, really, definitely has impacted me on one thing, that really stuck out to me, and it kind of goes and coincides with Pastor's sermon. He says, in broken moments, God comes and to find you, And it's not about the promises that we make to God, because we fail. We're human. We fail. But it's the promises that God's made to us, that he will always stay true. And in those fearful times, it's when we live to be fearless and we step into faith. And so that's my personal get from that. And I'm going to pass it over to Juan.
He's an awesome chaperone. I just wanted to say thank you for letting us go. And yeah, you know, I'm just kidding. No, I just really wanted to, I guess since last year I was asked to do it, and I did, and I said, sure. All my three kids went, and I went, and what God really spoke to me about, I learned to really appreciate our youth pastors. I really did. They don't ever get enough credit. I work with kindergartners all day, like 20 of them at one time, but it's a whole different ballgame to work with teenagers. So I really appreciate them, because one of the words that was said out of all the different things that I heard, one thing really stood out about Gabriel and Christina. A preacher said, you know, in order for us to bridge the gap, or from here, the youth that are going through, and if we are going to be a bridge, which is, he was talking to the youth pastors, but that includes all of us, because we're going to bridge these kids. We're going to carry them over to the other side. He goes, you need to be able to be walked on sometimes, because you're the bridge, right? And that was like, what? No way. Don't tell me that. Because that's the way I felt like at some moments when I was having to deal with some teenagers, not ours, others that were there that we were staying with. But that kind of opened my eyes and my heart to be able to be a little more gracious with our youth. But again, the appreciation that I have for our youth pastors, Christina, let's give it up for Christina and Gabriel. They're awesome, awesome people that continued to give their hearts. They continued to, no matter what. I mean, you may spend a whole night with at some ungodly hour of the night with a youth just so they can be okay. And then you still have to do your daily stuff. And then the following day or week, they mess up again. But it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth working better them than I. But I'm here to support them. And I hope we can all get behind our youth leaders, people that work with people in general. Even adults sometimes can get that way, but it's a very, very important time of a person's life, those teen years. They're critical. It'll veer them one way or the other. And my kids are growing up. I have my last three, and I want them to be going towards God. I want them to continue to pursue God. And I thank God for the opportunity to go and be a part of this, to be able to see what God is doing in our church. Again, thanks to our youth pastors, our pastor who is our great leader also for us. Amen.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. So we wanted to share that with you, and I'm glad you said that, because that was something that stuck on my, about the bridge, because that really hit me personally. Because we are the bridge. We're the bridge to the unsaved. We're the bridge to... So when you invite someone and they don't come, keep on laying yourself down. If they keep, you know, keep doing something and they're just keep walking on you. You're the bridge for Christ. So sometimes you have to lay yourself down, and that's what God's... And our strength comes from him anyway. So he gives us that strength to keep going. But we wanted to share with you guys. Thank you so much. Go ahead and take a seat. Well, we want to go ahead and go over tithes and offering. Thank you again for those that gave spiritually, just praying for us, and financially, we greatly appreciate it. And I want to just give you a word that was given to us. Be fearless. Fearless. If you stop at the word fear, you're not going to go very far. But when you're fearless, you will go so much further. So when you're giving, you got my country accent coming out. In your giving, live fearlessly. You know, if you have that only $20 left and God says give a little bit because you're scared, well, God, what's going to happen? God will get, when you begin to live fearlessly, he will begin to show you why you live fearlessly, because he's going to give it to you all the time. And so so I just want to just go ahead and as you're getting your tithes and offering, you can give in the back, the machine. You can do on the app, whether at Living Faith SA. You can text 77977. Sorry, I don't have a screen to help me out. but you can text Living Faith all in one word to that, and you'll be able to give that way. There's envelopes in front of you as well. But Father God, we just pray, Lord God, we just thank you for bringing us together, God. Thank you for the word that was given today, Father. God, we just pray, Lord Jesus, that we begin to just live fearlessly, God, in our giving financially, God, spiritually. And God, I just pray, Lord God, that you just begin to bless the giver as they give. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will continue to provide when we don't see there's provision. When our finances look just as dead as that boy that was there, and then Elijah went to lay on him, God, that you laying on our finances, God, that you will begin to raise them up from the dead, God. I thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing in our life, Father. We thank you and we praise you and we bless your name. In your name we pray, amen.
So before we finish up, I wanted to share something real quick. I'll be real quick because I know everybody wants to get out of here and eat, especially me. But I'm a product of camps. I am a big product of camps. I've been going to church since I was 13 years old. Before I was 13 years old, I was involved in gangs. My family was involved with drugs. I was a mess. I mean, just a bloody mess. And I'll share my testimony later down the line because it's a long testimony, and I ain't got time for that right now because, like I said, we're hungry, right? But, you know, I got into the church, and I got into the church during summer. It was June 4th. I remember the day because it was a big day for me. It was June 4th. I got baptized June 7th the following year. And it was a big deal for me. But that summer, I got to go to camp because I just happened to, you know, be at the church within that time. So I got to go to camp, and I experienced everything these kids experienced. Man, you got to give these kids a big hand clap because, I mean, just to come up here on the stage and share that, that just shows how much the Holy Spirit moved in their lives. Amen? Just give them a hand clap. But